I'm always astounded by the lengths that people will go to for the things that they are passionate about. Case in point is my next guest with me in the studio now, whose passion for an obscure sport is sort of born in 50s Pakistan, but is burning stronger than ever right here today in Natick, Massachusetts. With me right now is Mahmoud Jaffrey. He is the man behind Dover Squash and Fitness, and he's doing something really interesting to raise the profile of squash, the sport, not the vegetable, although you maybe, Mahmoud, you also like the vegetable as well, but it's the sport that you're passionate about,
that's
right?
That's correct.
And thanks for being with us. Before we get started, I do want to sort of disclose a little bit here. I mean, one of the things we're always doing here on the show is trying to find interesting ways to talk about sports that's accessible to people who maybe don't, you know, follow sports as closely, but interesting for people who do. And this is a story I caught. And as it turns out, Mahmoud Jaffrey is an underwriter of this station. He's also the owner of Dover Rug and Home. Previously been on the board here at GBH, is on the corporate executive board. So full disclosure there, he is related to us here at WGBH in some ways. We love this story, and we're going to talk to you today about squash.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So for people who don't know, give us as quickly as you can the basic idea of what the sport of squash is. You know, it's a racket sport, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
How does it work?
It's actually played in a room which is 21 feet wide and 32 feet long, which finally has been standardized as the standard size all over the world. They used to be, as usual, America had taken a different size and a different ball, but finally they realized that, look, we need to play with the rest of the world, and we need to have standardized sizes and the ball that we play with. So that sort of happened in the 80s. But essentially, it's I hate to compare it to racquetball, but the basic philosophy is the same, that you hit the ball against the wall. There are three lines on the court, and there are certain rules in terms of where the ball should land when you start playing with the service. And you have to retrieve the ball with only one bounce. Mm-hmm. The point system goes up to 11. You have to win by 2 points. And it's usually played either best of three or best of five. And the way it came to Pakistan was through the colonial rule, British colonial rule in the 1800s.
Okay.
And has survived since then. And as I mentioned earlier, that Pakistan has dominated up until the 80s.
Yeah, especially through the 50s. And so how was it that Pakistan came to dominate the sport? Was there more interest there? Were there more people playing it? Were there academies? I mean, what happened that they sort of rose to the forefront of squash?
It's a very interesting story,
yeah.
How it came about and how Pakistan started to dominate. It actually, the inception is in its very humble beginnings. The players who became the world champions were essentially ball boys and markers in the officers' club of the Air Force and the Army.
Hmm.
And over the years, they learned the sport from the British officers who were stationed in India at the time. It was India prior to 1947. And they picked up the sport. And because they had to sort of coach and teach the officers, they continue to get better. And and ironic part of the story is that the reason that they got so good was they had to play initially with dead balls, or the balls that were punctured and they would hardly bounce. Huh. And that gave them the skills to be able to retrieve the ball and to be able to hit the ball, to be able to get the bounce from the ball because it was a dead ball. And those are essentially the winning tactics in squash.
Oh, fascinating.
So what started off as a challenge, as a handicap for these kids, also became their strength. Also, they couldn't even afford shoes at the time because, you know, they were subjects and it wasn't expected of them to play with the same attire and with the same luxury as the officers were.
Oh, wow.
So in some cases, they played barefoot. You know, a classic example of that would be is the marathon runners that we see in U.S. today. They are running, they're used to running in their own terrain barefoot. So
yeah.
Their athletic abilities developed very naturally and in a very organic manner.
Hmm.
And once they were given the tools, clearly they started to dominate the sport. And it started with one name, Hashim Khan.
Yeah.
Is the man who won the first British Open in the 50s.
British Open's a big deal. Is that that's like sort of a major tournament for squash?
Precisely. It's like what Wimbledon is today.
Okay.
It's what British Open used to be and still is. And from then on, it sort of opened up a whole legacy. And the other interesting part of this legacy is that 70% of these great squash players come from one specific region of Pakistan called Peshawar.
Okay.
And within Peshawar, there's a village called Nawakhali. And unfortunately, it also happens to be the area which is part of the huge conflict right now. It's the northern Pakistan. It's the border areas with Afghanistan. And that's really where all the military operations and the drone attacks and all the terrible things are happening. So that was one of the reasons that we felt that, you know, before we lose the sport to this violence and to the war, we may want to create an opportunity for these young players who really no fault of theirs have essentially hit a steel wall and they have really no future. And I'll talk more about that at a later point. But that was the irony that prompted us to do something about it.
Okay. So you played squash. Did you play squash? I mean, is it a popular game in Pakistan? Like, does everybody kind of play it like people might play pickup basketball here? Is it more popular there?
It's an extremely popular sport.
Yeah.
But one of the challenges with squash all over the world is the accessibility. We have the same problem here. We have the same problem in Pakistan because in a 600 square feet space, 21 by 31, there are only two players that can play.
Yeah.
So as a result, the real estate part is very expensive.
Right.
And that's why even in U.S. and rest of the world, especially in U.S., it was a sport which was played by the Ivy League colleges and universities.
Yeah, I mean, it has a reputation here of being kind of a country, sort of like a country club type of sport. And yet you're talking about in Pakistan, you know,
yes.
people who are very poor coming up through the ranks and becoming great players. I think that's very different than the experience
here. It is a dichotomy. I mean, it is a very interesting phenomena. But that just goes to show you that talent does not only come from wealth and prestige, and you know, you can find talent anywhere. I mean, basketball would be a good analogy in this country.
Absolutely.
And so it is an extremely popular sport, but again, there are same inherent limitations. But it is also being supported by the government, and that's really who our trading partners are in this venture is Pakistan Squash Federation.
I see.
They're the ones who, through the merit system, through the selection process, bring players to U.S. and they do the selection because it's impossible for us to be staying here in U.S., living in Boston, to decide who has potential and who has the rankings and they have to go through the competitive process to establish a team. So Pakistan Squash Federation does that. And then we provide financial as well as infrastructure and logistical support here in U.S. so that they can play the tournament and improve their rankings.
Yeah. So I want you to talk a little bit about your efforts here, because your passion for squash has gone beyond just you playing. You've now built facilities, and what you're talking about now is you've brought over, or you're bringing over, very promising players from Pakistan to come here and train. You've brought coaches in.
Yes.
So tell me, just give us a little more about this effort that you've undertaken.
You know, the old saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't get the country out of the boy.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I'm a product of that saying.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. You know, you when you exploit the opportunities that are given to you here in U.S., at some point in time, you would like to give it back to where you came from. And that was the motivation for me and some of my partners who are involved in this initiative, was to go back and fix this dark spot which is hovering over Pakistan squash, is to bring these players here. And it happened sort of very slowly. I mean, it started off with a court in my house in Dover, Massachusetts, back in the mid-80s. And then last year, we developed a piece of real estate where we put our... It used to be a bowling alley, the Fairway Bowling on Route 9 in Natick. So it has a history of golf
sport.
And
yeah.
sports, exactly.
Yeah.
So when we converted that into our store, and we decided that it might be a good idea to start a squash and a fitness club.
Squash and rug.
Yeah, exactly. And as I say,
they go together.
What good is a rug store without a squash club?
I agree.
So it was natural to do that. And it also became a platform for us, a home, to realize our dreams of bringing these young players, for them to be able to train, for them to be able to get fitness training. We also have volunteers on our team, sports psychologists who will actually will speak to these
kids. Wow, so you guys are really, you're taking it very seriously.
Well, you know, in order to for these kids to come and play in this foreign environment, sometimes psychological assistance is needed because it's such a major change. So it gives us the ability to stay with our passion, celebrate our tradition and our heritage, and continue with the sport that we love. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah.
It's a complete non-profit venture for us. It is run by private donations and support of our board of advisors.
How are you identifying the players? How are you finding them? How long are they here for? Are they here indefinitely and they're getting trained and going on to profession? Can you be a professional squash player? Is that the goal here, is to make them professional?
That's the ultimate goal. Every country has a squash season. For example, in U.S., the squash season starts in U.S. and Canada. It'll start in January and will run through April. So that would be the window that we would like to have the players here so that they can enter into any and all of the major tournaments. Because today, the rankings of the players depend on the number of tournaments you enter, your winnings, and the type of tournaments they are. And unfortunately, this is exactly what they were not exposed to in Pakistan.
Yeah.
There are no tournaments which are taking place in Pakistan. There are no foreign players who are going there, so our players weren't exposed to the international play. As a result, just by virtue of being in Pakistan and the geopolitical situation of Pakistan, these players were at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
By bringing them here, we are at least attempting to create a level playing field where they're exposed to the international play, and they have a fair chance. And if they have the talent and if they work hard, they have just as much opportunities and potential as anyone else in the world.
We're talking with Mahmoud Jaffer. He's the owner of Dover Squash and Fitness, and the man spearheading an effort to single-handedly, so in some ways, resurrect Pakistan as to their golden age of squash champions, and bringing people here to the United States who show promise, training them, improving their squash play. Look, you've put a lot of effort into it. It sounds like you've put a lot of money into this over the years. What is it about squash that you love so much? I mean, it's physical, it's a game, but I've heard it like referred to as sort of chess. I've heard people talk about the strategy. Like, what is it that you love so much about it?
It is a mind game, they say, and that's why it's a corporate game, and that's why it's so popular with the Wall Street and the hedge fund guys and all of that, because that's the kind of a mindset that it takes. Quick on your feet, quick on your mind, competitive, gentleman outside the court, animal inside the court. it plays into that whole culture, and it's one of those things that once you have done it and once you have played it, it is an addiction, and it is considered one of the most aerobic sports in the world.
Yeah,
and as a result of that, once you get addicted to it, it generates morphine or some kind of a drug in your system, and that's what you want to do. Yes.
All right. So if people are interested in playing squash, lots of places they can go get information about that. We're going to put links on our website so that people know. If you're interested in learning more about playing squash, you can do it right here in Boston.
That's right.
All right. Mahmoud Jaffer, owner of Dover Squash and Fitness, thanks so much for sharing a little bit about this tale with us here on Boston Public Radio.
Well, thank you, and very kind of you to have us, especially if you're trying to spread the message for the ones who really could use it. Thank you.
All right. Kelly Crossley, squash player?
No, but I like to watch it.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
There it is.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. I'm Callie Crossley. Have a great afternoon.